This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Increasing the awareness of the public towards HIV and AIDS in Malaysia remains a real struggle, despite the improving perception towards the problem. To elevate the discourse to another level, two young active individuals from the Red Ribbon Youth Club, a branch of the Malaysian AIDS Foundation, decided to put their body and mind on the line and participated in two separate ultra-marathons. So what exactly is an ultra-marathon? Jeff Lau, a 26-year-old freelance graphic designer, took part in the 9th 6633 Arctic Ultra Race under sub-zero temperatures, while Jerry Song, a third-year medical student, participated in the Four Deserts Gobi March Marathon, all for the noble cause to increase the HIV and AIDS awareness in Malaysia. Jeff Lau and Jerry Song sit down with Daryl Ong as they start off exploring the connection between HIV and AIDS and ultra-marathons.
Ultramarathon is a task that is so difficult to complete and it's so tough and so challenging.
Right.
And actually, you have to like go through like 6 to 8 days to just complete a marathon. And during the progress, you can like feel like how tough is it, and like you always want to give up every day, every single moment. You just want to give up because it's like it's so tough.
Yeah.
I thought maybe can through this way to like express the toughness, like. Just like a HIV people, they are suffer in the same way. Like we need like people to support them. What I want to do is like I want to like through the race, raise the awareness, like stop the stigma problem, don't judge, and like help them to go through all this tough part in their life.
Totally agree with Jeff. And I firstly exposed to HIV and AIDS studies during my first year. That time I really like HIV and AIDS is so common, but nobody really understand them in depth.
Yeah.
So I think through this ultra marathon is expressed the perseverance and determination of an HIV person that going through the different stages of their illness. It's a symbolic expression of an ultra marathon to the HIV person's life.
Mm.
So there are a lot of different stages of illness. So what we want to do is like when we express these different stages of ultra marathon, we want to tell them that don't give up in all the stages of your HIV illness cycles.
Okay.
There is always hope in front. You just continue to persevere and
going forward.
Yes, true.
What are some of the stigmas in general that's looked upon the patients of HIV and AIDS?
People don't understand HIV and AIDS. They have like a misunderstanding of this virus thing. That's why it makes the people who had HIV, they don't dare to tell their friend or family. They will think, they will thought they are like a monster, like you like get away from me, you have like a HIV or AIDS. And this kind of stigma like attack their confidence. Education in Malaysia is a bit not open, because I used to study in Melbourne. The way they education in the way of like HIV, like sex, everything, I think they are more open to this topic. But in our country, I think in our school, we don't like teach like how to like have sex in the safe way.
So actually, I think that the main causes of stigma is ignorance. So people hate what they don't understand. So I think me and Jeff have the responsibility to spread this awareness and educate people in the proper way as a Red Ribbon Youth Advocate.
All right. So, and you guys actually went out of your way to spread awareness. We're going to go and talk about the run now.
Yeah, sure.
Jerry, you actually ran 2 full marathons before this.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. But not an ultra.
Yes, this is my first ultra.
This is your first time. So can you just tell me a bit about your confidence before the run? You know, did it sound scary to you?
Yeah. At first, this is very scary to me because I need to admit that it's a struggle to juggle between my studies and also the run, the training and things. So I made a lot of sacrifice. You might think that training is hard, but not completing the race is the worst thing that you the worst feeling that you want to have. So I prepared myself physically and mentally. I have a quota of trainings to achieve, and mentally, for example, every night I would just meditate and just imagine myself at the end of the crossing line, just to imagine it. So this keep me going, and I just keep reminding the purpose of this challenge, what I'm doing this.
Can you guys tell me a bit about your training regime? You know, were you guys running like 10K a day in preparation for... I mean, 10K seems very small, right? In comparison.
So for my... how I prepare for the Arctic Circle is like... Because the Arctic Circle, the temperature over there will like drop until like minus 35 to minus 40.
Wow.
So for the condition, I can't do anything with that. So what I have to do is just like boost up like 100%, like 20% of my fitness to make sure I can survive in that kind of environment. Mm. So Jelly and I actually, we did like field training together in like a Kepong frame.
Okay.
Because the route there is quite, some of the part of the route is quite challenging. It's up and down. And actually I think we did like 35K like on the Sunday with the backpack, because we have to get ready for the race. It's a self-support race, so we have to carry everything with in our backpack, and it's around 12 to 15 kg for Jerry, and I have to pull a sled. So yeah, so we just like train like weekly in the outdoor park, and actually for myself, I also do some gym to build some of my core muscle and to support the race.
How did your... I mean, when news got out, when you told your friends and family that you're going to do this, Jerry, you especially, first time doing it, were they surprised?
And yes, they were totally surprised.
Why are you doing this?
At first, they are not really agree with my decision, but soon I expressed my purpose, why I'm doing this. I think they understand about it and they allow me to do so.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are. Hopefully, they are proud of me right now.
I'm sure they are. I mean, can you guys just tell me about your specific runs? You know, how long was it? What's the distance? Maybe start with you, Jeff.
Yeah. So my race is happened in Canada, Yukon. It's an Arctic Circle run. The race we have to like complete 560 kilometers within 8 days. So if you calculate, is you have to finish at least 72K a day.
A day.
Then only you get the time to rest. And it's a self-support race. We have to carry our own food, equipment, the gear, everything together with us. And because it's 8 days, so it's so heavy, so we can't do our backpack things. We have to pull our sled on the route. So we have to pull. I remember my sled is around 25 to 30 kg. It's a heavy sled that you have to pull during the whole race throughout the 8 days. My race is in one go. So within 8 days, the organizers say, okay, just within 8 days, I don't care, like, what's your strategy for this race? You want to run within 3 days without sleeping? That's fine.
Up to you.
It's up to you. As long as, like, I want to see you at the finishing point, like, within 8 days' time. Yeah, so this is how the race is for the Arctic Circle 6633.
Okay, but yours, Jerry, you had set legs to complete, right?
True. Okay, so my race happened in Hami, part of the province in Xinjiang in China. So there are totally 6 stages in this race. So the first stage was 27 kilometers, so taking place around 200 meters across a huge hike of sand dunes.
Okay.
So there's a stage one. Stage two is around, we headed to the Tian Shan Mountain, to the highest point at course around 3,000 meters above sea level. So that time when I reached the peak, it was raining.
Okay.
And it's like freezing up there. It's like around 5 degrees Celsius. So we cannot stay at the checkpoint for too long, or else we are going to be freezing.
Wow.
So we just have got to move on.
Even a rest point is not a rest point.
Yes, it's not a rest point, because once you stop and stand, it's shivering.
Cool, right?
You're going to get shiver. Okay, and then stage 3 is a 40 kilometers stage. Quite comfortable, and across a very beautiful scenery is passing the nomadic farmers and their yurt. And stage 4 is 45 kilometers through the dense forest. It's a bit rocky and a bit muddy for the first few track. And the fifth stage is a long march, which is at the Devil City. And the temperature is spiked up to around 45 degrees Celsius. It's very hot. The ground is burning. So it's a long stretch of 82 kilometers, but there's a mandatory stop between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. So wherever nearest checkpoint you reach between 2 to 4 p.m., you have to stop. Because it's too hot.
Ah, I see.
It's too burning hot. So you continue to run until throughout the night. So we started on for the long march. We started at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I ended the other morning around 6 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You had to experience kind of like both worlds, right? Both hot and cold temperature.
Yes.
Did you have to bring any extra supplies for that kind of conditioning?
Not really, actually. So for the cold one, I just put on a few layers of wool sweater and also a rain jacket because it's raining. And for the hot one, I just run it with my normal.
Okay. Maybe you guys can just give me a rundown of what supplies do you bring. So what kind of food do you guys bring? Sleeping bags, camps, that sort of thing?
For my race, I bring the food. The food wise, I bring some like granola for my breakfast. I brought like chocolate drink, instant noodle, and some like a bakwa, like those okay. like a jerky
right,
things.
Right.
Because my race, and the most important gear is the sleeping bag and the water bottle. I have to bring the like a thermal flask,
right?
Yeah, because everything just get froze and freeze within a second.
Got to keep things hot.
Yeah, keep things hot. We have to bring something like the food, like light in weight but high in calories, which is we can get something like those like cold dry food, but those kind of food for me, like I don't like the taste, and if I go to a race, I wouldn't eat that. So the instant noodle is the best food. In the race, because it's so tasty, I can bring different flavor like tom yum, chicken, or curry.
Same as Jess as well, I really enjoy the Maggi noodles that he suggested to me. I also brought like Milo, hot chocolate stuff, coffee things, and jerky.
Okay.
But I think the main food, because during the race, there's a lot of people, during the first day, there's a lot of people complain about their the heaviness of their backpack, so they just keep throwing out food.
Oh.
So I'm the collector. Just back it up, and I collect a lot of food from the Chinese and all the different countries, friends, and I collect it and I just eat it. So I think I have a very good meal, varieties of meals from different countries, especially the Koreans give me a lot of bibimbap.
And
bibimbap is really nice.
So Jerry, supply wasn't a problem to you?
Yeah, I think it's excessive supply.
But Jeff, was running out of supplies, running out of food, running out of water a concern to you at all?
Yeah, because my race is a small organizer that organized the race, so the maximum participant is 50 people.
Okay.
So from this year, only 33 participants. So basically, we run by ourselves. We won't see any other participants because everyone's pace is different.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we have enough food and water. But for my race, we do have it's a one-go race, but we do have a water checkpoint. But the water checkpoint, the distance is 70 kilometers to each checkpoint. And I remember I only brought like 3 liters the thermal flask. And in one day, I finished my water. So what we have to do is like melt all the snow on the roadside and to get water. And you have to like melt a lot of snow. Then only you can get like a few ml water.
Okay.
And the water doesn't taste good. But without the water, your whole body just can't function. You just like work like a zombie. Like you really like so tired. You have no appetite. It's so cold. And you don't know why you are here. Like everything is so frustrated, but you know you have to like keep on going and finish the race.
Okay, and that's a great point because I do want to talk about rough patches right now. I mean, normal people, and I had lots of rough patches during that marathon. Like, oh man, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine doing it over the space of what 10-11 days, right? Can you just tell me a bit about your rough patches? You know, did it differ from when you were running before, and also in that sense, were there any dark times?
I want to give up every single moment. Like after like the first 35k, I say why I'm doing this. Like I was so tired, and I will scold myself, say I thought you say you don't want to do all this ultra marathon, why you are here again,
right?
Why you register again? So this is a question like I keep asking myself, and what I have to tell myself, I say yes, you just suffer for this within this few days, but you can help a lot of people. Like you suffer for 8 days, but you find racing for the people who need you help their whole life. After this race, you can go back home and have your nice bed, your mom's cook. Like, it's so good. So you just like have to like suck it up and just keep on going and stop complaining.
And especially because you're running alone, right? So there's no one to kick you up the back, yes, sort of thing. Like, come on, go on.
No, no, no one cheer for me. Like, I have to like walk, like keep myself, say, walk faster. Because basically we don't really run.
Right.
At the beginning, yeah, we have a slow run, but because the climax is so high and
I'm sure the terrain as well, right?
Yes. Snow. And so I just walk. And I said, walk faster, please. I want to see human being. And you don't have any GPS for this because from where the point we start is called Inuvik until Tatoyatu. So within this distance, it's like 560 km, but it's all the way to the north. And there's like no other route to go, so you don't need a GPS. However, all the way to the north, there's only like 5 or 6 truck on the route a day. So basically, just 24 hours by yourself and keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. And you really, hopefully, you met some others.
A human, hi.
Yes, like I didn't like talk for like ages. Like, please, someone talk to me. I need someone like talk to me. And
self-monologue.
Yeah. And just, I
talk to yourself, yeah.
Talk to myself and like really walk like a zombie.
That's Daryl Ong speaking to Jeff Lau and Jerry Song, who are ultra marathon runners from the Red Ribbon Youth Club, a branch of the Malaysian AIDS Foundation. And recently, they both competed in separate ultra marathons under very grueling conditions. Coming up, they'll share more of the challenges they faced during these ultra marathons. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, you're listening to LFKL, BFM 89.9.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer, that's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
BFM 89.9, I'm Hanif Baharuddin and you're listening to LFKL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. On the show this week, we've been speaking to Jeff Lau and Jerry Song, two ultra-marathon runners. They recently participated in the Arctic Ultra Race and the Gobi March respectively, putting their bodies to the limit to raise HIV and AIDS awareness. Earlier, they spoke to Daryl Ong about the inspiration behind the run and how they prepared for the race. Jeff shared some of the challenges he faced running in the cold Arctic Circle. Now, Jerry will share his struggles in the barren Black Gobi Desert and how he overcame them.
For me, I think the problems that I face is, besides physical, is like the mental. So actually, during the last stretch, I was also alone as well. During the first few checkpoints, I was alone. So I was like singing to myself, like it's a very long stretch, and yeah, it's true that different people have different paces. Yeah. So I always sing and I dance along, just enjoying myself and not thinking about the torturing that I'm having.
Okay.
So I just dance along, sing along through this pace and pretty enjoying it. And then I think during the last part, when the nights come, when I still have to walk through the windy sands and desert, when the sands just keep blowing into my ears and mouth, so that part I start to hallucinate things.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, have I reached the end? Not yet. Okay, I'm just like, I just keep seeing the
finish line.
The finish line, the grand ceremony just in front of me.
Did that work as kind of like a motivation for you? It's like, okay, I want to see the real thing.
Yes, yes, true, true. Yes, yes. So I just keep pushing myself. Oh, finally. When I reached it, I said, finally, I got it.
Did you guys finish the race?
Unfortunately, it's a shame I didn't complete the race. It's what happened was, during this race, we have to like sleep on the roadside. We don't have any camp for us. So we have to sleep under the temperature like minus 35, and during like I think stage 2 or 3, I'm not sure, we have to like go up to the climax of the hill, and it's like the wind speed is like 70 kilometers per hour.
Oof.
Yeah, it's really strong. Like, I have to like walk like 2 steps forward and 1 step
right,
backward.
Something's like pushing you back.
Yeah, pushing me back. And actually it was my colors, and I think I didn't tight enough my sleeping bag and my BV bag on my sled, and the wind just blow and my stuff just disappear within a second. For this race, without a BV bag and the sleeping mat, you can't sleep on the roadside because you will die of cold. Mm. So I have to tell the organizer, say, I lost my BV bag, and they have to like disqualify me because, yeah, I there's no way to survive in this race, and you walk alone by yourself. So if without this important equipment, once you get like cold or whatever, you have nothing to protect yourself. So I was really get mad with myself, and I just like ask the organizer, I say, that's fine, like I know I'm officially like disqualified, but I just want to carry on the race. Any chance I can carry on the race? They say, yeah, because this race every day there are people like dropping out,
right?
So maybe after 2 days you can get a BV bag from other participants. So he's good enough, he let me carry on. So after 2 days I just get a BV bag from the other participant and carry on the last 180 km ice route. And yeah, I'm happy because
you crossed the finishing line.
Yeah. I'm really happy because at least I do my best. I'm not regret. It's a shame, but it's a great experience.
Yeah, great experience,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Fortunately, I finished the race and crossed the finish line, but I was a bit ill during the medal ceremony, okay. So I didn't. The thing that a little bit not so happy is about, yeah, right. I didn't take a very good photos
right.
during the medal ceremony because I was too ill, and the race director herself, Rita, came to me to hand over the medal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean that's the only downside.
Yeah, that's the only downside.
Yeah.
Would you guys do it again?
It's kind of like for myself. Ultramarathon is something like once you better don't touch it. Once you like go for the first one, I'm not sure, Jerry,
yes.
You will get like kind of like addicted.
Oh.
But yes, that's why I did the time. Actually, after I finished the Arctic run, I just complete the another ultramarathon in Peru in Amazon like last month.
Mm, nice.
So I think I will carry on with the ultramarathon, and hopefully I can get more like fundraising for the charity.
Cool. Jerry, what was something that you
I
learned?
I totally agree with Jeff. This ultramarathon thing is very addictive.
Yeah.
So once you get into it, the pool you are stuck in is it. So I plan to do another run next year. But in between, I need to really manage my time well with my studies so I can enjoy the race at the same time. Excel in my studies as well.
I mean, Jerry, you had an exam coming up. After you finished the race,
true,
right?
True.
Did you manage to, you know?
Yes. Fortunately, I passed it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Last couple of questions. What are some of your advice to, you know, people who inspired by you guys and actually wants to do this kind of thing?
Hopefully, I can like inspire like people. Like, you don't have to do ultramarathon. You can do something else, but do something you like, you love to do. At the moment, you can help someone. I run for the good cause. You can do something for good cause. It's like, it's not only your self achievement, but at the same time, you can help people who not as lucky as you.
Mm.
Actually, I mean, me and Jelly, we have to go through all this tough race, but we are considered lucky person because we have a chance to go through all these races. Mm. Since you have like chance to go to explore the world and do the work or the stuff you like it, why not at the same time you do something good cause, like you help the charity in KL in Malaysia. I love KL, I love Malaysia, I want to make it like a beautiful country.
What was something you guys learned about yourself? What was your takeaway from all of this?
Besides running, I think it's important that we develop ourselves as a whole and make sure that we make ourselves useful to the society. Because I think nowadays people are caring too much on themselves without looking the society as a whole. I think we play a part, an important part in the role. So I'm fortunate enough to join MAF to support this movement to end AIDS, and I hope that in my future I can do runs for a different cause and also to support different and at the same time to do a good cause.
Jerry, you are a med student. What are some of your hopes personally for the future of the HIV and AIDS awareness in Malaysia?
I hope that we can end AIDS as the Malaysian aims to end AIDS by 2030. So I really hope that we can achieve together we can make a great impact and we can achieve like zero new infection, zero discrimination, and zero AIDS related death in Malaysia.
And I think this is a great place to start. For people that are listening to this right now and wants to help out, where can they go to?
They can go to the Malaysia AIDS Foundation Facebook. There is a link. It's called Simply Giving website. Yep. Through the website, you can do your donation. And if you donate like 50 ringgit and above, you receive like a tax resumption things.
Oh.
Yeah. Hopefully, the website is still open for public to donate. Hopefully, whoever who listen to BFM, they can like help. Like people who need them, because yeah, we born like we are so lucky, and hopefully we can share our luck to the people that are not unfortunate like us.
Yeah, I think your donation makes a great important impact, because this donation will be channeled to the HIV and AIDS community who are really need in funds to support their medication, things like that, and also to prevent treating HIV and AIDS patients. It's a long ongoing process, but what we want to do, what we want to grab the opportunity now, is to make an impact of prevention, because prevention is always better than cure.
Yep.
So we want to prevent, we want to make a great impact of awareness to the teenagers, to the community and the whole society of Malaysia on how important is it to end AIDS.
That was Jeff Lau and Jerry Song, ultra marathon runners from the Red Ribbon Youth Club. Once again, if you want to find out more about the cause and do your part, you can visit the Facebook page, facebook.com/Malaysian AIDS Foundation. If you'd like to revisit the interview, head over to bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning into I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.